go.
Houston, flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety conference go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right-side patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show, 18th of May. Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Craig, and how are you today?
You know what? Pretty good. I mean, it's been gray, it's been rainy for the past, well, I don't know, 3 days. But, you know, it's going to be nice later this week, so, and then it's going to rain some more. But, you know, it's okay.
Okay, well, here it's nice. The humidity hasn't really kicked in yet, so it's still paradise.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Earlier today, I was sitting here. It was raining outside, and so I go onto YouTube, and I watched a satellite get launched. I think it went up from California.
Fun.
Yeah, I think it went from California. I'm not positive of that. Could have been somewhere in Florida, but I didn't quite catch that. I just happened to tune into it about 15 seconds before it lit up, you know. And,
okay.
You know, so I watched that and you know, did some research on stuff. I was writing an article for Friday. I was, you know, it's just been one of those busy days.
I can honestly say I'm all done for Friday.
Well, you are, but you have to keep updating things. You got to keep a sharp eye on things.
Sure.
Friday, Diane is doing a big piece on what's going on in Israel with Hamas and that whole mess. And it's a very fluid situation. It's changing still by the minute.
Yeah, and guess whose side I'm on?
Let me guess. I'm just gonna take a wild shot in the dark here and say you're not gonna get a greeting card this Christmas from Hamas.
No, I'm not getting a greeting card from them. Maybe it'll be like CAR, and you know, CARE, I should say. I keep calling it CAR for some reason, but CARE. Maybe I'll get a little nasty note from them, like, you know, you and I did from CARE.
That was so funny. Folks, if you know, you may not remember, you may never have heard the story, but we had Congressman Brian Mast on the show, and we did a great interview, and we covered a whole wide range of things. And the next day, Brian Mast, you and I, the three of us, all got nasty grams from CARE.
Yeah, we got eviscerated basically by CARE, and it was even carried on some local stations. And we looked at it as a badge of honor. And Brian, poor Brian, he wasn't even involved in the segment.
No, I mean, we, you know, with Brian Mast, we covered a lot of ground, but we never got into that topic. That was a whole different segment of the show than when we had Brian on. And so, you know, of course, when all this happened, we got a hold of Brian and we said, you know, gee, if we caused you any trouble, we're sorry. And he says, well, first of all, I don't even know what you guys were talking about that brought this on. And he said, second of all, I think it's great.
Yeah. Remember, Brian also served with the IDF in Israel voluntarily. I mean, you know, the liberals do such a good job of protecting groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and all that. So it's time, you know, people from our side tell the truth about them.
Now, in your piece on Friday, that you're actually going to publish it Thursday morning, but we'll cover it on the show on Friday, you're getting into a lot of the not only the history, but a lot of the details as to what's going on right now.
Right, and hopefully nothing major happens, or at midnight on, you know, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, I'll be making corrections at the last minute. But right now, I think Bibi's not going to give in, and rightly so. I don't think there'll be a ceasefire at this point, maybe by this weekend. But no, Bibi's going to clean them out.
Yeah, I get that feeling, too. Now, next Tuesday, okay, a week from tonight, I am going to go off on Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, you're doing a very study.
I'm doing more of an investigative type of piece.
Right. Mine is strictly 100% commentary, and I'm going to go off.
It's a rant.
It is.
Fine.
It is.
Nothing wrong with ranting.
And so I'm going to do that. This Friday, however, I'm going to get into the whole situation of reparations for slavery.
Yeah, you mean for people who were never slaves, nor were they alive at that time, nor were we ever slave owners or alive at that time. Those people?
Those people. And those people. I guarantee you, folks, because of both of those segments coming up on Friday, you do not want to miss Friday's show. Diane's going to lay it all out there as far as Hamas and Israel is concerned. And by the time I'm done, I'm going to have liberals' heads exploding.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
On this reparations thing. So,
yeah.
You know. So we got that to look forward to. Now, tonight on the show, we've got a couple of great segments. Diane, you're covering politics, big business, and a possible miracle drug.
Yes.
Okay.
That seems to be one, and I'll even let our listeners know on some personal things I've been hearing from people who have actually thanked me for telling them about this drug.
Well, and I'm gonna have a little fun. It's not very often that we get to make fun of the CIA, but I'm gonna tonight.
They're a big joke right now.
They are. The CIA is WOKE.
It woke up. It's politically correct.
That's going to be that segment tonight. But let's start with some quick hitters. And we start with Bill de blah, 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 Blasio. There in New York, the mayor of NYC, actually ripping into Andrew Cuomo over his book deal. And is this the beginning of the liberals starting to eat each other?
Well, there's been no love lost between de Blasio and Cuomo for quite some time.
Right.
This just adds to the mix. And don't think, you know, there's anything great about de Blasio. He is god-awful. But on this particular thing, just like, you know, the proverbial clock is right twice a day, he's right on this one. And like Craig said, he's really letting into de Blasio, who's making $5.1 million from his book, dealing with his leadership at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. Remember his leadership that led to 13,000 elderly New Yorkers in nursing homes dying?
Right.
That's what he's making money off of.
Yeah, I mean, at best, it's blood money.
At best, that's exactly what it is.
You know, and de Blasio is calling it state-sponsored publications or something like that. And, you know, he's letting into Cuomo pretty substantially. And this all took place in an interview that happened yesterday. And, You know, when you look at this, there's a lot of people out there that are shocked at the amount of the advance, the $5.1 million advance. Some people tried, you know, some of the media outlets tried to soft sell it a little bit, and they said, well, you know, it's somewhere over $4 million. Yeah, it's 5.1.
Right. Yeah, the New York Times actually reported that. But what's even worse about this, he got permission to actually work on his book from New York State's Joint Commission on Public Ethics. The commission itself found nothing wrong with what he was doing. Never mind that he was using New York staff workers to do research and editing and everything else involved with a book, with book publishing. And when he was now called to tasks that he has violated the Ethics Commission, oh no, these people were all volunteers. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait a minute.
Sure they were.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I got this straight. Cuomo's unethical activities were given the green light by New York's Commission on Ethics.
Yes, he actually received permission to work on the book by them. But then when the fallout started happening, you know, we agree with him. They were volunteers. It's, you know, the cover up again, the usual Democrat cover up.
I mean, is there no end to the amount of unethical behavior of Cuomo?
No.
I mean, it just seems like one damn thing after another with him.
Well, it's even stranger that de Blasio actually said you don't need a lot of ethics training to figure out that that's not acceptable, meaning writing a book like he did, profiting off, basically, his leadership. He didn't have leadership. He has blood on his hands, 13,000 deaths.
Well,
that
you
didn't
know.
Have to happen. Plus, let's not forget, he's facing sexual allegations as well.
When de Blasio goes off on Andrew Cuomo, it's a bit of the pot and the kettle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you get right down to it. Okay, from one Cuomo to another, we move over to Chris Cuomo over at CNN, and he went off on pro-lifers. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Supreme Court is going to hear a case that's got an element to it that might affect an element of Roe v. Wade.
Right. It's a part that would prohibit abortions after the 15th week of pregnancy. But what Chris Cuomo is saying, oh no, the pro-life movement is against science and catering to the far right, white, fright vote. But what he doesn't understand is, how can we be against science when it's the Democrats who are pushing the science that there were 50 genders?
Well, you know, that's a good point.
You know, believe in two genders here. We're not following, you know, genetics, DNA, RNA. We're not following real science. But the Democrats, science says there are 50 genders. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, let's just take this at face value. Okay.
Okay.
Chris Cuomo had to throw in white into this, so he's making it a racist thing.
Yes, he is.
Okay, but you correct me if I'm wrong. The majority of abortions are abortions of black babies.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've established that fact. Also, Margaret Sanger established Planned Parenthood, which, let's face it, is an abortion mill, in order to commit genocide against black people.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. This is liberal, you know, liberal thinking and liberal speak. They don't know. They don't think, and all they do is speak. But they speak without knowledge, but they love to, you know, put everything and anything under the banner of science.
Well, and here's the other part. You know, this is, I'm paraphrasing Chris Cuomo's statements, okay? But at one point he said, essentially, that women should have the right to do whatever they want with their own body. Now, I agree with that, okay? I do. I 100% agree with that. The problem is what they're aborting is not their own body.
Exactly. They're just, it's really a parasitic relationship at that point.
If liberal women want to abort themselves,
let them.
I'm all for it. Yeah, you won't get any argument from me. You probably won't get any argument from anybody on the right. All right? But when you have an abortion, you're not aborting your own body.
No.
Okay? No. And to call abortion women's health care is really, really off base.
Well, what's even worse is that Cuomo said opposing abortion is a political lever to use as a distraction from policy and solving problems. Number one, since when have ever, you know, have Democrats ever solved a problem? They create the problems. They do nothing to solve them. And he's also comparing abortion to asking for voter ID cards.
What?
Yeah.
Well, now, where
Please tell me how the two even remotely have anything to do with each other, except for the fact he thinks both are racist. A voter ID card is racist, and an abortion, I guess, is racist because of his white, you know, comments about it.
Good grief. Yeah. I mean, you really, you got to really be twisted.
Mississippi.
Yeah, you got to really be twisted to try and make that kind of a tortured analogy.
Well, look who you're talking about. The whole family is twisted.
Man, I'm telling you what, those kids were dropped on their head.
I think so, but the funniest part is Cuomo actually said scientific results would boost the pro-life argument. Really? I didn't know science, you know, the scientific argument on the development of a fetus into being a living, breathing baby is a pro-life argument. It's just a fact. It's a biological fact. But when you have 50 genders, I guess anything goes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, basically what they're saying there is, you know, if Cuomo wants to follow the science, we're happy to do that because the science shows that Cuomo's wrong.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you got that. Over at Space Force, you and I were talking on the show, I don't know, a week ago, week and a half ago. You know, we don't hear much about Space Force. Well, we did this week. Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, he's an officer with Space Force. He has been reassigned because he wrote a book, and in that book he was critical of critical race theory and Marxism in the military.
In other words, he was being pro-American, and that's no longer allowed in the military. That's really what it boils down to.
Now,
and these were comments he made on a podcast earlier this month, not even, you know, very recently. And his fellow servicemen are supporting him 100%. But, I mean, this is ridiculous. Now our military cannot condemn Marxism?
Apparently not. Now, he still holds the rank of lieutenant colonel. He's still part of Space Force, but he's been removed from his command, the division he commanded, and he's been reassigned. Right. He's still part of Space Force, but this is a, you know, slap on the wrist punishment because, you know, he dared to condemn Marxism in the military, and he was against critical race theory, which let's face it, critical race theory is a bunch of crap.
Exactly, and I'm going to be doing an article on that bunch of crap.
Yes, we're not going to get into the details of that now. We'll save that, you know, for that article. But here's a guy, red, white, and blue to the core. Okay, and you know, Marxism in our military is not a good thing. I don't give a damn what these liberals say. That is an atrocious thing, and obviously, it's creeping its way in. And good Lord, if you're a military person and you come out against Marxism in this day and age, you're in trouble.
Right. And basically, you know, he actually said the reason is critical race theory and Marxism are anti-ethical to American values. Critical race theory fuels narratives that attack America's founding documents. In other words, the Constitution. But we all know how Democrats feel about the Constitution. It's an outdated document that needs overhauling.
Right. And apparently it needs overhauling with Karl Marx's manifesto.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this is carrying all of this nonsense, all this race nonsense too far. In other words, we now have to literally bow down to 12.4% of the American population.
Well, it's not
I ain't doing it, and I don't think you are.
No, I'm certainly not. And it's not just, you know, it's not just the race element in this, but Marxism.
Exactly. I mean, communism, in other words, folks.
They came at him from both angles.
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, how dare you? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it just boggles the mind, you know, and he's done a series of interviews now, the lieutenant colonel has, and he says, look, I'm being misinterpreted, misrepresented, misquoted, you know, and he is. He's absolutely right. They have taken what he wrote in his book and they took what he said on that podcast and they have twisted it to make him into some kind of villain when they should be putting him up on a pillar and saying, this guy is a hero.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's, you know, it's even worse than that because what they're doing is Space Force is not something the Democrats want. If they were if they had their way, they would be happy to shelve the whole thing.
Right.
Okay. They have no respect for or understand really what's behind the creation of Space Force. They forget he who controls space controls the Earth. Whether for peaceful reasons, for war reasons, whatever. You have to have, the United States has to have a dominance in space. And that goes beyond just sending astronauts to the space station and things. We need a dominance in space.
Absolutely.
When you do away with Space Force, you knock them, like what the Democrats are doing by this whole thing with the colonel. You're actually giving Russia and China an in to beat us into space dominance.
Well, I know you feel the same way as I do. We salute you, Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer. You are a true American.
Yes. You know?
Finally, we head down to Texas. Good old state of Texas, the Lone Star State. It was just a couple of months ago that Texas announced they were opening up. They were done with the COVID nonsense. They were going to open up the state. No more of these silly mandates, no more, you know, closed down businesses and all this. And of course, you know, blathering Biden had to come out and say, well, that's nothing but Neanderthal thinking.
Right.
Now, that shows two things. First of all, Biden's an idiot. And second of all, he has no understanding of Neanderthals. The Neanderthals were actually pretty damned intelligent. Okay.
Not only that. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Well, then I'll throw a little science in there.
Well, we don't need to get that deep in those particular weeds tonight, but I'm just saying, okay, you know, the Neanderthals pretty much are the reason humanity exists.
Well, that brings up some weeds here.
Well, it
does.
Because
whether people want to admit it or not, and you can Google this all over, we carry Neanderthal genes.
Yes.
Okay. I won't go into the whole thing. I've even, I think, written an article about this. But there's a certain population that doesn't have the Neanderthal gene. The Neanderthal gene is what keeps us basically healthy and immune to certain things.
Yeah.
You guys can Google it. You'll find out who doesn't carry the gene. And then you will understand a lot of things.
But here's the deal. Now, like Diane said, because Neanderthal genes help provide immunity and, you know, along those lines, okay, Texas opened up 2 months ago. Yesterday, zero COVID deaths.
Right.
Zero. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's Neanderthal thinking, sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm proud to have Neanderthal genes. Hell, you know, it's supposed to be a good thing, you know, as far as immunity. I haven't had a cold, not even a cold, never mind the flu, or a sore throat, or an earache, or anything since 2004. Bring on the Neanderthal genes.
Yeah, bring them on. Give me a bowl full of them.
You yeah.
know? I'll eat them for breakfast. Look, here's the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, so Biden should be careful. I guess he has no Neanderthal genes.
It could be. Look, here's the deal, okay? Texas is going to go up and down. They're going to have more COVID deaths. People are going to die. Okay, and yes. they know it. But 2 months after opening up, they had a day with zero COVID deaths, zero new hospitalizations.
Right.
I mean, this is great news.
Yeah, and here's a little bit of news, folks. Even the people that are getting the vaccine, you're going to still see some people getting COVID and dying right. from it.
Right. I mean, it's going to happen.
Yes.
But, you know, according to Biden 2 months ago, you know, Texas opening up, they were just signing their death warrant. It was going to be the end of the state.
Right.
But, well, no.
I mean, just like here in Florida, we've been open since President Trump lifted the original COVID things, and we're
right.
doing remarkably well.
You know, my state of Nebraska, we're doing well. North of us, up in South Dakota, they're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look at the states that have opened up, they're all doing really, really, really well.
Yeah, but you know, you got to keep the panic going. You got to keep what I now call the scam-demic going, or the scare-demic going, whichever one you choose.
It's
COVID-19, the disease is real, but the ramifications that it has caused to our country economically, that was all politically motivated.
100%, no doubt about it.
Yes.
All right, we got to get to the bottom of the hour break here. When we come back, Diane's talking about politics, big business, and a possible miracle drug as we're speaking about COVID. This is going to blend right into that. Then mm-hmm. about a half an hour from now, I've got the CIA is WOKE, and I'm going to be sticking my finger in their eye tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some fun, and we're going to get some valuable information to you. Folks, you stay there. We'll be back with more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show. If you miss any part of it, you can, of course, go over to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. We'll be there in the podcast section, Podbean, hosting the podcast, and you could be one of the pod people. We'd appreciate it, and we'd appreciate it if you share those links around, too.
Yes.
All right, Diane, so you did some digging. You did you dug out a medical journal or two. You did some internet sleuthing, and you found a possible miracle drug, but the politics and the big business are getting in the way of it. Tell us all about it.
Absolutely. Now, it's called Ivermectin. It's a commonly used generic drug discovered in Japan in the late 1970s, and it's now become the stuff of major media fodder. Originally developed and used as a veterinary drug to treat internal and external parasitic infections in both commercial livestock and companion animals, Ivermectin was quickly repurposed and adapted to human use after it was proven to inhibit the in vitro replication of some positive single-stranded RNA viruses. Viruses like malaria, dengue fever, Zika, and yellow fever. And now with more than 2.5 billion doses successfully given over the past 30 years, Ivermectin not only has an excellent safety record, but has been proven to stop SARS-CoV-2, or COVID-19 as it's more commonly known, stop it dead in its tracks. In fact, some top doctors and medical research scientists, both here in the U.S. and abroad, are hailing Ivermectin as a miracle drug, a broad-spectrum inflammation inhibitor so potent and powerful that, according to Pierre Corey, MPA, MD President and Special Medical Officer of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, which is known as the FLCCC, quote, it can end this pandemic. And just recently, a group of medical and scientific experts from what I just said is the FLCCC Alliance, a March 2020 organized medical alliance, which includes three U.S. government senior scientists, published in the May-June issue of the American Journal of Therapeutics that the long-used anti-parasitic drug Ivermectin is both an effective prophylaxis and treatment for COVID-19. And how did these esteemed doctors reach this now obvious but not previously disclosed conclusion? Simply by their having gathered previously kept from the public data derived from clinical, in vitro, animal, and real-world studies, along with reviewing previously published but not highly distributed peer-reviewed studies, manuscripts, expert meta-analysis, and epidemiological analysis of regions where ivermectin was used as a therapeutic agent and where it showed it was, quote, highly effective against COVID-19. Also, it's now come to light that information garnered from 27 randomized controlled trials, 15 of which were WHO, NIH, and EMA, that's the World Health Organization, the National Institute of Health, and the European Medical Agency trials of over 2,500 patients were made available for publication in January of this year, but were not actually published nor released to the public here in the U.S. until now. And Craig, other key findings not released here were meta-analyses of ivermectin that were previously published by expert panels from the UK, Italy, Spain, and Japan. Meta-analyses which showed statistically significant reduction in mortality, recovery time, and viral elimination in COVID-19 patients treated with ivermectin, along with their having little to no side effects.
Now, it comes as no surprise to me that the U.S. government would want to cover all this information up. What does right. come as a surprise to me is that because of ivermectin, you can not only cure COVID-19, but a case of the fleas. You know,
right.
I mean,
it's a two-for.
It is kind of a two-for deal, but here's the deal. Or I guess maybe here's the question. When you boil this all down, when you look at all these studies, they've got to come down to some sort of a summary conclusion. And what is that when it comes to ivermectin?
Okay. Which is key importance, this is really key, is the fact that when administered, ivermectin led to, quote, rapid population-wide decreases in morbidity and mortality, end quote, including in highly COVID-19 infected areas of Africa, Central Europe, and Mexico. In fact, the countries of South Africa, Zimbabwe, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, Mexico, and India have all approved ivermectin for immediate use by medical professionals. But this information was deliberately kept hidden from us while Fauci and the Democrats kept pushing their inane rhetoric that, quote, we've got to make sure that we get the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated, to which he added that masks must still be worn even after getting what now has become more popularly known as the jab. And Dr. Fauci followed that up with words to the effect that, quote, just maybe by next Mother's Day, vaccinated people can almost go back to sort of being free. Sort of being free? Really, Dr. Fauci? You and your Democrat enablers do need to stop lying to the American people and let ivermectin be given to all those now suffering with COVID-19, as well as those who want to take it as a preventative measure. After all, ivermectin has proven, courtesy of the above hushed up trials, to be way better at halting COVID-19 spread than the vaccines that are continuing to be pushed on the American public. Or is it, perhaps, that Dr. Fauci and his assorted political ne'er-do-wells do not want the pandemic to end? What with he personally showing himself to be nothing but a medical version of a liberal activist judge pushing a decidedly liberal activist agenda. And dare we not forget that Dr. Fauci is also, first and foremost, a longtime Washington bureaucrat who used his position as our nation's top infectious disease specialist to not only lie to we the people, but to try and manipulate both our behavior and our reaction to the politically manufactured and media-manipulated drama that has sadly become the calling card of COVID-19. And as long as fear holds sway over the masses, both his and the Democrats' power over the people stays in place. Take the fear away, give people hope, and said power will surely start to wane. Even the sheeple and other should know better, but don't, gullible sorts, can only be hypnotized with fear for just so long. Simply, with ivermectin possibly having, and having for quite some time now, the ability to end this fear-driven, politically motivated pandemic, Dr. Fauci's silence regarding said drug speaks louder than all his previous rhetoric, lies, and innuendos ever could. And Craig, this includes his early-on lie told to President Trump regarding not needing to wear face masks at the onset of the pandemic, to his currently saying that we have not yet reached herd immunity, the very way by which Mother Nature herself helps temper down viruses and such over a given period of time.
It's interesting that you mention herd immunity at this point, because that's the aim. Right. I mean, we want to get to herd immunity, because that means the virus really begins to die off because it can't find a suitable host. So herd immunity, you know, where does that play into this? Because you're talking about, you know, the political end of this, the big business end of this. I'm assuming that Fauci's silence, especially where herd immunity is concerned, plays into the political end of it?
Yeah, it all ties in together. And let's just say that, you know, herd immunity is now beginning to take hold in certain areas of our country. And that's the very thing fearmongers like Dr. Fauci fear most. For once herd immunity takes hold, their power of us drops basically to zero. So it's best to keep those two words out of the public discourse. And it's especially critical to do so now that WHO, the very organization that orchestrated the previously stated 27 randomized controlled studies and knew of ivermectin's success record but kept those results from the public, is now suddenly claiming that, quote, current evidence on the use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19 patients is inconclusive, and that until more data is available, that ivermectin must only be used in clinical trials. And WHO is also doing this while completely ignoring the important fact that ivermectin also has proven to significantly reduce the risk of folks contracting COVID-19 in the first place. Now, this leads me to wonder just how gullible Dr. Fauci thinks some of us are, for WHO's now flip-flop reaction is surely one of an organization being forced by their string-pulling powers that be to do as they are told or else. After all, fear-mongering is the stuff of not only big business, but of forced manipulative compliance as well. Better to push a vaccine quickly rushed to market on a gullible and ever so fearful public than it is to announce a not as profitable cure, if you will, all while the big boys' pockets do get lined once again, big pharma fortunes continue to be made, political power continues to be Democrat Party consolidated, and the general population becomes but willingly indoctrinated guinea pigs for a vaccine truly not well tested nor proven to totally work. Remember, no matter how much Dr. Fauci speaks of the vaccine's effectiveness, folks are still coming down with and dying from the nasty little virus from China, even after they've been jabbed. And why? Because these current messenger-based RNA vaccines, what are known as mRNA, were in no way tested long enough or carefully enough to fully understand either the safety risk involved or the possible ramification to one's immune system in the future. And this is in direct contrast to the vaccines currently in use for measles, mumps, rubella, polio, smallpox, and influenza, all of which have a long documented history of their being tested and developed over time. But most importantly, these stated vaccines, Craig, were developed in line with requirements of federal health regulatory agencies. The COVID-19 vaccines currently in use do not appear to be, at least not to the degree that they should be.
When it comes to these vaccines, okay, the approach that we see the government taking, that we, you know, the political approach to this is kind of a scattergun effect. You just start, you know, painting with the broadest brush possible. You try to get the vaccines out, you know, to every corner as fast as possible. But like you say, they're not well tested. We don't know, you know, what's going to happen down the road. Is there a better way to use the vaccines? Because I don't want to say that they're totally useless. Is there a better way to apply the vaccines as far as regionally?
Yes. Well, let's just start by saying that while Dr. Fauci keeps heralding the merits of the three currently in use COVID-19 vaccines, those are the Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna vaccines, all of which I believe have at least questionable safety records. And as many folks continue to line up for the jab, while still not understanding that with COVID-19 being as contagious as it is, at least that's what we all are continuing to be told, that the vaccinations need to be more what's called area targeted to truly be effective, or that many folks already have acquired naturally occurring antibodies against COVID-19. In fact, one doctor, Paul E. Marek, a founding member of the FLCCC agency and chief pulmonary and critical care medicine at Eastern Virginia Medical School, recently stated that, quote, "We are calling on regional health, public officials and authorities, and medical professionals around the world to demand that ivermectin be included in their standard of care right away so we can end this pandemic once and for all." And I, for one, believe Dr. Merrick's words of hope and assurance that this pandemic can and will end in time with proper treatments given way more than I will ever believe the questionable words of Dr. Anthony Fauci, a doctor turned Democrat political hack who honestly has no idea what he is doing nor the damage his words, actions, and now inactions are causing to our nation. In fact, I believe that if Dr. Fauci does not immediately institute ivermectin as part of our COVID-19 treatment protocol, that he will personally be responsible for the deaths of many more Americans, Americans whose blood will be solely on his deceitful and ever so manipulative hands. Case closed.
Yeah, at this point, Fauci is really being exposed as a sham. You know, when you get right down to it, you call him a political hack, and I think it really goes further than that. I mean, this guy is willing to do whatever he's told to do by other political hacks.
Exactly. And you know what? I have some personal stories about ivermectin. I'm not going to mention any names or whatever. But a good friend of mine, her mother and her sister, about a week and a half ago, came down with COVID. The mother has many, many medical underlying conditions, serious conditions.
Well, and those, quite frankly, those are the people that are at the highest risk.
Right.
You know, when you've got underlying conditions.
Yeah, and she developed the COVID pneumonia, double pneumonia, along with her other very serious medical conditions. And she was on the verge of dying. And my friend told the sister, whose case was not as bad, demand, they don't live in the same state, demand that you and mom be given this ivermectin. Every hospital has it. It's an anti-parasitic agent. They got it. Their doctors gave it to them. The mother, who was dying, within 2 days was sent home to finish her recovery at home as was the sister.
That's pretty impressive.
I've been receiving messages because of my article from people saying, thank you, we didn't know about this drug. It's been buried in the media. It has been mentioned. I'm not the first to mention it. But it's been buried in the media, thanking me for putting out this article and telling me they've taken or they've advised someone to take it and it's working on them as well.
Yeah, I want people to understand. I want to be very clear on this. Okay, it's if you know somebody that has contracted COVID, maybe you've contracted it. Maybe you're in an area where there's still a lot of it. Maybe you're a high-risk person, like we just talked about. Okay, if you want to talk to your doctor about this, it is ivermectin, I-V-E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N.
Or as some in the medical profession call it, ivermectin.
Ivermectin, yeah. Not invermectin, not ivermectin. I mean, I've heard it pronounced 100 different ways.
Yeah.
I-V-E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N. And this particular drug is doing more faster than any of the other treatments have. I mean, as good
with
as hydroxy.
Side effects.
But yeah.
With little, I should say little to no side effects. It comes in pill form. It comes in liquid form. It comes in a shot. This drug has been around since the 1970s, folks. And they didn't want to use it. It's too cheap and it's too easy.
Nobody's going to make a fortune on this.
COVID more than the vaccines are.
Yeah, nobody's going to make a fortune on ivermectin. They're just not. You know, and so what? I mean, if the idea is to save people, and if the idea is to get people over being sick faster, and by faster, I mean in a matter of a couple of days.
Or less. One person told me they felt better within 24 hours.
You know, why not go with ivermectin? Right. I mean, why mess around with this other stuff? You know, as much as I can't stand the guy, Bill Maher, who's a liberal talking head, He was bragging a couple of weeks ago, you know, he's all vaccinated up, and then he came down with COVID-19.
Yep. A lot of people who've had the vaccine have gotten it. But you know what gets me mad about this? Fauci knew about this drug way back in the beginning of the year. Why wasn't President Trump given this?
Because
think about that, folks. Why wasn't the president of the United States? Remember, these WHO studies and all that were done last year. It had already been proven to work. Why wasn't the president of the United States given this drug instead of the whole regimen of drugs that he was given?
Well, and thank goodness he was given the entire cocktail.
But he didn't need it.
He didn't need it. But, I mean, you know, he got over it pretty damn fast. You know, but yet, you know, he had to, you know, take in a pharmacy to do it. Ivermectin would have just like that. You know, the reason, and it's a good question, but the reason for it is totally political. It's political expediency. It would not be expedient at that point, okay, because, you know, this was at, you know, near the beginning of the whole manufactured pandemic panic. You couldn't manufacture that panic if the president of the United States could have gone on TV and said, you know what, I came down with COVID-19, I took ivermectin, and look at me today. I mean, I took ivermectin yesterday, and look at me now.
Yeah, the problem is they needed Trump to be sick so they can put their whole thing into play about, look, he wouldn't do the masks, he wouldn't do the social distancing, yada, 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 down the line. This whole thing, that we're not saying the disease isn't real. The disease is real. But there have been treatments that have been kept from us. And that, as far as I'm concerned, is a crime.
Yeah, it's criminal. You get right down to it, it's criminal. People
and Johnson and all those vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella, all the others that I named, those drugs were tested for years on thousands and thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. What our vaccines, these vaccines were developed within under a year and tested on 42,000 people, and people are lining up for this?
Yeah, and it's RNA-based, not DNA-based, so exactly. We don't know what the effects down the road are going to be. You know, I mean,
People are dying from the vaccines, too.
If I get COVID, you know, and knock on wood, I haven't, but if I do, ivermectin, that's what I'm going to tell them I got to have.
Exactly. Except no substitute.
Yep, except no substitutes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. Folks, the op-ed over at Diane's blog is Politics, Big Business, and a Possible Miracle Drug. You can find it at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or you can go over to RSP Radio 1. That, of course, is the number one, rspradio1.com. You're going to find it either place. You'll get a link. You can go right to the blog, and we want you to share it. People are still coming down with COVID-19. Yes, it's getting to be fewer and fewer all the time. But yes, with the use of ivermectin or ivermectin, however you want to pronounce it.
Ivermectin, right.
Yeah, you can actually speed up herd immunity. Yes. By a gigantic factor. And we're not talking about a minuscule amount here. We're talking about a quantum leap. You know, it's very simple. End the mask mandates, end the social distancing. You'll be allowed to dance at weddings, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe by next Mother's Day, you might possibly regain a little of your freedom. Screw you, Fauci. Screw you.
Right. You know? Yeah. Fauci needs to be brought up on charges. He's lied about this since day one.
He's just making crap up.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it takes to prolong the panic.
Allowed to take hold right in the beginning. Well, just like every year with the flu.
I wish we would have said that at the beginning. I wish you and I would have actually intoned that at the very beginning of this manufactured panic. Why didn't we think of that? You know, that herd immunity. Why didn't you and I say something like, you know, what we need is herd immunity?
I did. I wrote a major article on that.
We both did. That's my point.
The way you were saying it. Okay. We knew from the beginning that herd immunity would take hold.
You know, but two things.
Because Fauci and crew did not allow it to take hold.
Two things you and I said at the onset of all this, right? Mm-hmm. Herd immunity and an antidote. Hello, ivermectin.
Yes.
Hello. You know, I mean, and here, yeah, but the most disturbing part of this, folks, and when you go over to Diane's blog and you read through this for yourself, the most disturbing part of this is all these studies that were done and when they were done, and we're just now finding out.
Right. That's a crime. That's concealment. That, you know, the job of a president is supposed to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the American people, and that includes those in his administration. Well, guess what? Biden, I refuse to call him President Biden. Biden and his administration, they've done everything but protect the health, safety, and welfare of the American people.
They manufactured panic, and they kept it going.
Exactly.
It's what they did. It's what they did. Folks, you find the op-ed. Once again, the title of that is Politics, Big Business, and a Possible Miracle Drug at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or at rspradio1.com. You get the link either way and share it. That's the way you got to do it. Top of the hour break here. Got to get a couple of station IDs in. When we come back, It's a snark attack. Yep, I'm going after the CIA. The CIA is W-O-K-E.
Oh, dear.
If I don't have black helicopters over the house by the end of this segment.
True. Maybe you will. You never know.
It's hard telling. Folks, hang on. More Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night, the 18th of May, and welcome to it. Once again, if you miss any part of the show, tomorrow morning, go over to rspradio1.com, click on the podcast. You'll find it. It'll be there, and share that everywhere. All right, so I said earlier, it's not every day that we get to make fun of the CIA. Basically, it's a humorless organization.
And
for good reason. I mean, you know, they are what they are. At least they used to be.
Used to be is operative there.
You know, a little bit of snark, just a little bit of snark in the commentary tonight. The CIA is W-O-K-E. You know, like most people, a good deal of what I have ever known regarding the CIA comes from how they're depicted in movies and on television. Unlike a good number of people, I know there's lots more to it than what we see on the screen. The CIA has always been this great country's most dangerous covert weapon in real life. They have always operated in the shadows of some of the seediest places on Earth and in some of the most glamorous places one can imagine. Let's be honest here and admit that nobody really knows what goes on between the inner sanctum of Langley and those places, both seedy and glamorous, and that's probably for the best, but we do have certain expectations of those who work for the agency. We expect them to gather intel from our nation's adversaries. We expect them to be covert while doing so. We expect them to have friends in some very low places, and we damn well expect them to be able to keep a secret. We expect those who work for the CIA to be stealthy, be unnoticed, be unafraid, and to have their heads screwed on straight. We expect those who work for the CIA to be bold when necessary, be seductive when necessary, be calm when necessary, be violent when necessary, and be able to kill the enemy with a Kleenex when necessary. Diane, we also expect that there are people with certain skills beating down the doors at Langley just trying to get a job, but apparently that's not the case.
Well, it sure doesn't seem to be the case of the CIA, because I think they've kind of reached a new low, because they're actually using certain parts of social media to look for recruits. How low can that be?
They're going to YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, for the love of... YouTube? Really? The CIA is now advertising on YouTube looking for recruits. Not just any recruits. Recruits that meet a certain criteria, and probably not the criteria you're thinking of. They need to be woke. That's right. The CIA is looking for intersectional millennials who aren't afraid of airing their personal laundry to the world, admitting their insecurities, and broadcasting their job titles to the world. Welcome to the new touchy-feely CIA, which also dropped the word "the" from their vernacular, as though it were a pronoun on Birthing People's Day, formerly known as Mother's Day. Let me put it to you this way. 4 years ago, if you were curled up in the fetal position in a college campus safe space with a coloring book, some crayons, a bottle of bubbles, and a therapy puppy, today CIA wants you. Let's start with the CIA librarian. Now, first of all, I had no idea in this day and age that the CIA had a library, given the extent of the internet and the dark web, but they do, and they have a CIA librarian. Now, this guy, had he started his career as a gay librarian in a prison, I'd probably have more confidence in his abilities when the going gets tough. However, he started his career in the profession as a middle school librarian, and while I'm sure that dealing with kids at the onset of puberty provides a certain set of skills, I'm not so sure it qualifies one to work for the CIA without the and the librarian for CIA tells the world in his video that he grew up gay in a small southern town so as to reassure others that CIA without the is far more accepting than a southern Piggly Wiggly supermarket. Folks, you can go to the blog and you can watch the video and listen to this guy. Okay? And notice that around his neck he's wearing what must be the key to the front gate of the CIA. Notice
key
too
to the
that,
library.
Yeah, notice too that he refers to libraries as safe spaces. That's a clue. Perhaps the most unsettling part of the whole Humans of CIA, that's what they call the series, the Humans of CIA videos, featuring the librarian is how proud he is of bringing what he calls carefully selected games into the library so that clandestine, covert, and very dangerous people can put little colored pegs into little holes. Diane, apparently, they've run out of bottles of bubbles.
Oh, dear. Well, maybe they've been drinking their bottles of bubbles because there's something beyond the Humans of CIA. And believe me, guys, this is something that will sort of blow your minds a bit.
Yeah, next up in Humans of CIA series is a cisgender millennial woman who claims to be, and this is her words, not mine, quote-unquote, perfectly made, before she goes on to explain that she's suffering from generalized anxiety disorder and has also struggled with imposter syndrome.
Whatever that is.
Well, I had to go look up all this stuff. I had to look up intersectional. I had to look up cisgender. You know, generalized anxiety disorder, that is exactly what it sounds like. That means you're jumpy and twitchy and nervous at everything. Okay, and imposter syndrome is when you don't feel like you're good enough for the job you got.
Okay.
But go watch her video. I've got it locked and loaded. It's in the blog. She's all that, but she says in the video she's not a box checker. Good to know. Next up, we meet the CIA receptionist, who is shown wearing a pro-gay sweatshirt while strolling the grounds at Langley with her seeing eye dog. Okay? During her Humans of CIA recruiting video, she admits to having once been so low on self-esteem that she didn't want to apply for the job out of fear of rejection. Look, lady, I don't give a rat's ass that you're blind. That's just a thing. But if you're such a delicate daisy that you wilt at the suggestion of rejection, maybe the CIA without the isn't the place for you. Forget Humans of CIA. Personally, I feel better at this point if the recruitment series was titled Service Animals of the CIA, because I'm willing to bet the dog is more emotionally stable than is the receptionist. The woman on the previous video said she didn't sneak into the CIA. And you'll forgive me if this seems a little crass, but she probably could have, considering the "Hi, welcome to the CIA, hope you're having an intersectional day, how can I help you" receptionist is blind. Finally, we have a video in the Humans of CIA recruiting series, which is a woman who tells us how she parlayed a gig as a polygraph examiner into working as part of the director's protection staff. All right? You have to wonder if the CIA director is aware that as part of the protection staff, there is a former polygraph examiner who is, in fact, a liar. Oh, that's right. I called her a liar because in her video, she claims that as part of being a DPS agent, she works, per quote, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is either a complete lie or, as a special agent for the CIA, she is potentially dangerously sleep-deprived, and she's armed. What's more, she admits that she has not been able to find a balance between her work and personal life, which means that she is protecting the CIA director while sleep-deprived and armed and conflicted. Look, there are other videos in the Humans of CIA recruiting series, and they're equally as squishy as those that you would have already seen once you go through this blog. But, obviously, there's more to being part of Team CIA than being a super double-top secret covert field agent traveling the world and dispatching of international bad actors. But holy crap! Has it really come to this, Diane? Has the CIA gone completely wimpy, weak in the knees, and fully woke?
Well, I got a question for you. After all this and seeing what the CIA is, you know, turning into, I wonder, is there a time limit to how long our country could be kept safe with these kind of people now part of the agency?
That's a damn good question. It really is. If the idea is to have everyone who works at the CIA in any capacity be box-checking emotional wrecks, I think it's only a matter of time before agency assassins are asking a target's permission to kill them and apologizing for offending rogue nations for the intrusion of infiltrating their ranks and garnering information necessary to keep our country and our allies safe. The last thing we need is a wishy-washy intel agency sprinkling pixie dust and fanning away unicorn farts so as to make our enemies feel better about themselves while they proceed to obliterate us. I mean, can you even imagine a CIA agent telling Ahmed the Iranian terrorist, "I know you had a questionable childhood growing up in uncertain times after your mother blew herself to bits making bombs for Hamas, Allah rest her soul, but would you mind terribly not planting a dirty bomb in Los Angeles? We fear it might lead to global warming and could interfere with our issuing voter registrations to illegal aliens. Perhaps you might be interested in coming to work for us at the CIA. I'm sure we have jobs suited for someone like you, and we do have a 72 Virgin pension plan that's to die for.
Literally.
So how bad is it really at Langley these days? Well, just a couple of weeks ago, some twit tried to drive into the CIA headquarters in Langley, where he was stopped at the gate. CIA security guards tried to negotiate with the twit, which led to a standoff. Finally, as the negotiations were going nowhere, shots were fired, and the twit was taken to the hospital. That's right, shots were fired, not by the CIA, but by the FBI, because apparently the CIA is now all talk and no action. Turned out that the twit was mentally disturbed. Now, I don't know about you, but given the whole Humans of CIA recruitment video series, I'm guessing the mentally disturbed and now perforated twit was probably there for a job interview trying to become the head of Humans of CIA Resources Department. It's too bad, really. I mean, had the guy been a transgendered, one-legged, lactose-intolerant bedwetter with mommy issues and an overwhelming desire to marry a syphilitic platypus that self-identified as a Buick, he probably would have been at the top of the list to become the next director of CIA. Listen, you have to be their receptionist not to see that our nation's premier intel agency is going to hell in a hemp handbag.
And guys, it all started when Joe Biden became president when he did not win the election.
That's it. That's it. I'm telling you. Folks, you really got to go get the link to this, okay? You've got to see these videos.
Yeah.
I mean, you might think I'm making this all up. I'm not. These are the real videos that I've got loaded in here. It just leaves you shaking your head like, what in the world is our CIA doing? You know?
I'd like to know how many of these people were actually hired.
They all work there. These are all people.
They all actually were hired.
Yes. Yes, the CIA librarian is the CIA librarian. Okay. He's not a guy looking for the gig. He's got the gig. All right? The woman who is the cisgender millennial who claims to be perfectly made but has generalized anxiety disorder and imposter syndrome, she works there. She is a CIA person. The blind woman with the seeing eye, she is their receptionist. Okay? She works the front desk. The final video, the polygraph examiner, who is now part of the director's protection staff, who is armed, sleep deprived, conflicted, right? She is what I mean. It used to be, if you worked for the CIA, nobody outside the CIA knew you worked for the CIA.
Right. I mean, the CIA was even a spy agency, if you will, at one time. Those people were highly trained, specialized agents who had some working brain cells. Well, and didn't plaster their personal life all over the place.
And look, I understand there's a big difference between the lady at the front desk and a field agent. Okay?
Yeah, of course.
You know, I get that. Okay, but if we're doing this with the people that are working inside the building, eventually that's going to trickle to the people that work outside the building.
Exactly.
You know, and it just is. All right? And so, if we're going for the woke librarian, the woke receptionist, the woke, you know, protector of the CIA director, so on and so forth, eventually we're going to go for the woke agents, okay? But I think
but
it used to be.
You can't even call it the CIA anymore. It's CIA.
Yeah, CIA without the, you know.
If this is what our governmental agencies have become, we are in more serious trouble than people think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm poking fun at them. Yeah, I'm sticking my finger in their eye. But as it is with everything I write that's snarky, it's snark-based, it's sarcasm based on the truth.
The videos are truth. All you have to do is watch the videos and see the truth.
I've got 5 videos locked and loaded in this. Okay? Folks, if you go to thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com, either place, you can get the link. Okay, the CIA is W-O-K-E. Either way, you get the link. Get the link, watch the videos, and share it. All right? It's worth it for the laughs. It's worth it to see the videos. For goodness sakes, it's worth it just to look at the photos I put in here.
It's worth it to know what one of our top governmental agencies has become. It's a joke. It's a laughing stock.
It 100% is. That's the problem. You know, it used to be around the world, the last agency you'd want to cross is the CIA. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the CIA, Mossad, right? MI6, you didn't want to get crossways. You didn't want to get sideways with those agencies. And people feared the CIA. Our adversaries around the world were scared crapless of the CIA.
Yes. Not anymore.
Now they know because they, you know, they get YouTube in those countries. You know, now they know that we've got people that are protecting the director of the CIA that are up 24/7, armed and conflicted because their family life and their professional life aren't jiving. Okay, they know that while one lady did not sneak into the CIA, they can because the receptionist can't see crap. She's blind.
Oh, God.
Okay.
This is insanity. This really is insanity, folks. You know, you kid around. It's a great snarky piece, but it's based on truth. Videos, you know, they don't lie. These are the people that actually work there. If that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what will.
You know, there was a time, okay, there was a time where I'm sure that if you went to CIA headquarters at Langley, let's say you work there, and you went in there and you went into their library and you checked out a book, you knew if you didn't have that book back by the due date, you would simply vanish from the earth. Okay? But now, the librarian for CIA is a middle school librarian.
This is insanity. I mean, I don't know what other way to explain this. I mean, we must be the laughing stock of the world. I can see Putin sitting in Russia now, cigar in one hand, maybe a vodka in the other, and laughing his head off.
Well, I mean, he's looking at that going, you know what? I used to be part of KGB when we had a "the" in front of it, yeah. And we certainly didn't operate like this.
God, this is totally insanity. Total insanity.
Now, I do have.
No wonder Israel doesn't care what Biden says.
About
the Mossad.
About 2/3 of the way down in here, I do have a photo of someone I believe might be one of the new breed of CIA covert agents. He happens to be pretending to be dancing in the street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. it's beyond belief how far our country has fallen in coming up on 5 months.
The CIA is W-O-K-E. Who would have thought it?
No, I never would have thought it.
I mean, it's amazing. grab the link to Diane's article, okay, her op-ed, Politics, Big Business, and a Probable Miracle Drug. Grab the link to my commentary, the CIA is W-O-K-E. Easiest way to get them both, just go to rspradio1.com. They're both right there on the front page. You can click into there. It'll get you to the link, get you to each of our blogs. And from there, share, share, share. That's what it's all about. Friday, Diane, you're taking on very in-depth the situation that is occurring even as we speak in Israel, between Israel and Hamas. We understand Lebanon is now getting involved.
Yes.
You're going to take a...
Hezbollah.
Yeah, Hezbollah. That's Lebanon's version. You're going to take a very in-depth, very analytical approach to this. And folks, I've had a sneak peek at it. It's a great piece.
Thank you.
It really is. Friday, I'm getting into the whole thing about reparations for slavery. And just like today, it's going to have plenty of snark, but it's also based 100% in reality.
Not one bloody dime should be going to someone who wasn't a slave or even alive then.
Right. I couldn't agree more. But now I want to take a moment here. I want to talk about the show we have coming up, not this Friday, but next Friday.
Oh, yes.
There is some really interesting stuff out there. We're seeing more of it now from official sources than we have ever seen in the past.
Yes.
We're talking about UFOs. Okay. Diane and I, as you know, folks, we're big space geeks. We love the space program. Okay.
Yes.
And it's not just launching satellites and putting probes on Mars and the space station going back to the moon and deep space, probes that we have out there and things. Diane and I tend to look at space in a very broad spectrum. We're not alone.
Right.
Okay. So with that in mind, coming up in June, the Pentagon, the federal government, is supposed to release a detailed report on UFOs. And they have been making videos available now for several months. Diane and I have been watching these videos. We've been paying very close attention to these videos. We've been analyzing them. We've been studying them as best we can. We're reading information and interviews and things from military personnel who have actually seen and filmed these things. It's fascinating. We've got a very interesting show coming up next Friday as we delve into that.
Yes. And we're not doing conspiracy nonsense, folks. So don't think, we're saying, oh, the little rover is going to find more than the Martian. No. We're dealing into the probabilities of these UFOs being real, where they came from, how they got here, and why they're here.
I mean, this stuff's coming out. You got to be living in a cave somewhere not to have heard about this, not to have seen some of these videos that are being released by the Pentagon, by the military, by other sources. These are official videos. They're verified by the Pentagon as this is a UFO. We don't know where it came from. We'll get into all of that a week from this Friday.
Yes.
Going to be a fascinating show and a fun one because it's really, politics is our main wheelhouse, but I'm telling you, space stuff is right there.
Oh, absolutely. And know that as much as they're going to try to pass these off as weather balloons.
Yeah, right. Look, we love a good mystery as much as anybody.
Right.
We do, but this isn't new to us. This is not something that's just come to our attention in the last couple of months. So
no.
Prepare yourselves. That's all we can say. With that, Diane, I think it's time for you and I to just kind of wrap this one up. I mean, first of all, go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com. Grab the articles we have out right now and share those everywhere.
Yeah, and if you do know anyone that has COVID, or if you yourself have COVID, please demand to be treated with ivermectin.
Time to say goodnight, Diane.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you Friday.